This morning's scripture reading can be found at Philippians 1, verses 1 to 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
Let us bow before our Father. Lord God, we are humbled to realize that as we have gathered here, you are pleased. You have challenged and encouraged and instructed us that we are to gather together as the body of Christ, to be an encouragement and blessing and support and to minister as you have gifted us to and with one another for your glory. Lord, by faith we acknowledge your presence. By assurance of your word, we hold precious how good it is for us to assemble together. Lord God, may your word speak to us. May we be a blessing one to another as we have gathered here. For those who are hurting, for those who are feeling abandoned or lonely or distraught or confused, Lord God, may we do the work that we have been called to do to come alongside one another. May we serve you with a glad heart, humbly recognizing that we are privileged to be able to be invited into your presence, knowing that this pleases you. And so we pray in faith, believing that we are in obedience to your counsel and instruction to us. And so we would ask you to uniquely meet us here in this place this morning. May we have ears to hear and hearts that will respond to the counsel of your word to us. We pray these things in the precious name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To those of you who are faithful Facebook followers, please do not take offense at the short story that I am now going to share with you. For those of you who are of my generation who do not and cannot comprehend why Facebook even exists, I share with you this. It's not a personal experience, but a experience. I'm trying to make friends outside of Facebook while applying the same principles of Facebook. Therefore, every day I walk down the street and I tell passerbyers what I have eaten, how I feel at that moment, what I have done the night before, what I will do later and with whom. I give them pictures of my family, my dog, of me in the garden, taking things apart in the garage, watering the lawn, standing in front of landmarks, driving around town, having lunch, and doing what anybody and everybody does every day. I also listen to their conversation and give them thumbs up and tell them that I like them. And it works just as it does with Facebook. Already, I have 4 followers, 2 policemen, a private investigator, and a psychiatrist. Well, this morning I want to talk about friendship. Friendship. And I wonder how many people truly realize the importance and delight of faithful friends and what a contribution that they can make into our lives. Someone has said we are fortunate if at the end of our days we have 2 or 3 true friends. In our scripture reading this morning, Paul shares happy memories and deep appreciation of the Philippians, his relationship with them as they ministered alongside him. Thinking back on Paul's experience in Philippi, though he saw fruit, he did not have an easy time at it. For initially, as he was sharing the gospel, they were hounded by a demon-possessed slave girl who continued to follow them, shouting out, "These men are servants of the Most High who proclaim to you the way of salvation." After several days of this, Paul delivered the slave girl from her demon possession, which resulted in both he and Silas being arrested, beaten, and imprisoned. While there, God wondrously worked, resulting in the jailer coming to know Christ as his Savior. The authorities realized that they had handled this very poorly, Paul being a Roman, and they released him, asking him, encouraging him, pleading with him to leave their city. This was the start of the Philippian church. It is believed that it was 10 years had passed since the birth of the church that this letter was written to the believers in Philippi. Yet Paul continues to treasure these friends, thanking God for them and praying for them often. In fact, it says in verse 3 and 4 of Philippians 1, "I thank my God for all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy." We have such a privilege of establishing and building friends with one another, to have friendship among men. There is a significant difference between acquaintances and friendships. And these go to another dimension when there is a spiritual connection through Christ involved. Often we meet people in business and in social activities who do not know Christ, and yet friendships can be established. And such friendships may become meaningful, but seldom do they pass the test of time. On the other hand, those relationships that include the spiritual dimension, that spiritual union, are different. When a crisis comes, it is these dear friends, often who we have been joined together in Christ, who are able to come alongside and to share and encourage and comfort us. For we trust their heart and we have confidence in their counsel. For like us, they too have an eternity perspective. Most of you are aware that I had a bit of an accident 3 weeks ago on my motorcycle. And there were several decisions made on my account that I not only had nothing to do with the decision, but knew nothing of the decision. One being how to get my motorcycle home, and two being how to get my wife on site. And these decisions, though significant, were made by trusted friends. As Sue arrived, she brought some clean clothes for me that she had not quite thought through, because she just brought T-shirts. And I was totally incapable of putting a T-shirt on. And when this was realized, Brian and Sue Lofgren went to a mall and picked me up a shirt. You want? I had briefly raised this with Sue, who is in British Columbia as I speak, and she strongly encouraged me not to wear. I was going to wear that this morning, and she strongly encouraged me not, suggesting that maybe I don't have enough emotional and relational money in the bank for such a thing, particularly on Communion Sunday. And I'm not close enough to retire to risk it. But it is a constant remembrance of the occasion. It's good to have good friends. Here in Paul's letter to the Romans, he closes with chapter 16, commending and expressing appreciation to no less than 23 individual, by name, people who meant significance to them. And several identifiable groups is mentioned in chapter 16 as well. Paul most certainly treasured his friends. And listen to what Solomon has to say about friends. In Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born in adversity. In other words, you can count on friends, true, good, faithful friends. In Proverbs 27, verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, confused are the kisses of an enemy. Have you ever been in that kind of a situation? In this day and age, we are encouraged to tread carefully as to not to offend. But a true, real friend will risk offending us for our benefit or for our well-being. I remember that happening, knowing that I was putting at risk a treasured and faithful friendship. And I was so delighted. My friend took my concerns as Solomon states here, faithful are the wounds of a friend, and our friendship deepened. This is also echoed in Proverbs 26, verse 9, or 27, verse 9. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. What I am saying here is cherish and invest in good friendship. But Solomon has something else to say in this area of friendship. In Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Do you know who that is? Do you know who that is speaking of? I believe this is a marvelous Old Testament prophetic passage pointing to the Savior, to Jesus Christ. And it takes us to the second point I want to share with you, which is truly amazing, in that we can have a personal, intimate relationship with God Himself. That continues to boggle my mind, that we can know God as He ministers and desires to have a relationship with us. And yet, as we know that here, sadly, we don't take advantage of it or seek to foster that relationship nowhere near as much as we should or could. We can have a personal relationship with God. Jesus did not come as those watching and waiting for Him the way they expected. Scripture says in Matthew 11, 18 and 19, For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say he has a demon. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus had relationships, friendships. He cared for those who were being ignored and overlooked by the established religious leaders of his day. But just as the rest of this verse, just to rest in this verse is giving only but a one side of a picture of Jesus, there are other passages that kind of balance that out. Like in James 2, 23, scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Abraham, one of the old patriarchs, known as a friend of God. And in this passage, Abraham believed was evident by his actions. So just to say we believe, but that not impact what we how we live or how we respond to his instruction or counsel, gives us reason to question our sincerity, even our salvation. Because what we believe ought to affect how we live. And isn't that partly what Jesus was getting at when Jesus taught his disciples at the Last Supper? Now, the time that Jesus spent with his disciples at this time takes up a good part of the Gospel of John. It starts in verse 13 and goes to 17. But he addresses this very specifically in John 15. And I want to just reflect to you or remind you in verses 12 to 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. I read of an illustration shared by Dr. Vernon McGee, who wrote, when I hear folks singing, Jesus is a friend of mine, I want to go up to them and ask, are you obeying his commands? Jesus said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. If you are not obeying him, I take it that you're not one of his friends. Hard words. But isn't that exactly what Jesus is saying? You are my friends if you do what I command you. In keeping with that counsel, James also says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Are we living our lives in any measure or contrast to our world? It should be evident that we are different, that we are, Scripture identifies us as aliens, that we don't belong here. We are living for a higher purpose. But as we serve, as we strive to live in obedience to Him, we have the promise of His friendship. Please, please, please don't take this to say that we have a salvation of works. I'm not saying that in the least. We come to Christ in faith, believing what He has done for us was an act of great love and mercy for us. But as we accept what He has provided and what He offers, it needs to make a difference in our lives. A faith that saves is a faith that works, that lives are changed. They're different from this world. As James says, faith without works is dead. So in obedience, let us enjoy our intimate, personal relationship with God. As we rest in His sovereignty, as we rejoice in His presence, as we marvel at His majesty, let us continue to enjoy and give thanks to Him for His provision, for His protection, and for His fellowship. What a blessed people we are to be called children of God. And that is what we are as we respond to His wonderful gift of salvation. We enjoy not only His presence, but we are found in the palm of His hand, which is absolutely amazing. Let me pray. Father, we bow before You with gratefulness for the knowledge that You so loved us. You have opened our eyes to the wonder of your salvation. You have invited us to be part of Your family. You have given us the privilege of knowing that we are not burdened by our sin of poor decisions. You give us great confidence in our days ahead as we strive to live according to Your good pleasure. Lord, You have given us Your Spirit to indwell within us, and that He will never leave us nor forsake us, that He will help us in understanding Your counsel and remind us of instruction that we need to heed as we hear the convicting work of Your Spirit in our hearts. Lord God, You have given and given and given, and we thank You. And we pray, Father, that we might be pleasing in Your sight, that we would recognize that we are uniquely blessed to be a friend of Yours. Thank You for the privilege we have of getting to know one another and recognizing that we are a body, that we are a temple, that we are one with one another, that we are instructed to love each other as You have loved us. And so, Lord God, may we heed this counsel as well and respond to it in obedience, to be a blessing, to be an encouragement, to be a help and a support, to recognize the times when we need someone to come alongside us and we can depend upon one another as we are found in obedience to You. We thank You. We thank You for being our friend and for the position that we find ourselves in light of eternity. We thank You for being just Your instruction that we are to be a friend with one another. And Lord God, as we recognize that there are people that are eternally lost at this point in their lives, may we respond to the opportunities that you would give to us to demonstrate the great love that you have given to us to them. And so may we be light and salt in our world, in our relationships, in our places of employment, in our communities, indeed in our families. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.